Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
From thebarlifestyle.com, it's the Bar Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 533 of the Bar Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We love you. We haven't been live in a couple weeks, so, catch up with us. Let us know, because I listened to that our Ed Explains a Movie episode last week, and I thought it was fucking hilarious. So I would appreciate any feedback on the recent episodes. Feel free to lob us a phone call, 949-464-TBLS. You can also send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. As well, we would appreciate it if you saw fit to become a supporter of the show, $5 a month. Click the link in the show notes. You can sign up there. That would be it's a blessing to you and to me. We appreciate you very much. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. I have to say, because we took a couple of weeks off of like non-movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope everybody's buckled in for the RIP, because there are a lot of big hitters in the RIP big
ones.
Section.
Yeah, some big ones. I saw them coming through. I mean, a lot of people that we talk about on this show.
Like, so much so that in an off week, I would have said John Belushi's wife was one of them, but like, she's been scrapped. She just wasn't famous enough.
Judith?
Judith, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw the Quiet Place year zero or whatever. It was like the prequel to when, that's the John Krasinski, Emily Blunt movie where like everybody has to be quiet or they get murdered by these aliens.
You can't wear shoes, but there's sand on the ground everywhere. Who put the sand down? Is that explained? How does the sand get there?
Why doesn't everybody hang out by waterfalls?
Yes. Why didn't they build their house next to the waterfall?
You could have loud sex by the waterfall and nobody would hear.
They can't. It's confusing to the aliens.
But
yes,
I watched the movie. I'm not going to spoil it. I thought it was good. It was entertaining. Like, it's just, you know, being worried that you're going to get murked by an alien and like you sneak around and try to find your way out. Like, it's one of those movies. It was fun.
Yeah. I thought I'd seen it, but I realized I was watching the sequel that's after.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty good. Place. I think Killian Murphy's in that one.
That's the one. That's who it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was solid. I think that was like maybe a pandemic type. I feel like I watched that on Paramount or something like that.
He lives in a bank vault.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one was fine. Yeah. Lupita Nyong'o, I think that's her name. She's the star of this one. Yeah. And this is like New York City, and you're trying to get around.
Yeah. And is there sand on the streets in New York City?
Nobody's laying down sand. They're not. Oh, okay. Who knows where that was in the woods with sand?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't find, you'd find pine needles. You wouldn't find sand in the woods.
I know. And somebody had to lay. There's a path of sand everywhere. So you get to town, you walk on the sand. Well, you had to make so much noise putting down the sand.
Yes,
that's all.
There's a lot of sand. It's a sand related movie, but this is New York. It's not, and I'm not giving anything away. But there is a guy, and I don't think he's famous. If he's famous, he's famous in stuff that I've never seen. But there's a guy that like is also part of the journey, and I have signed up for an alien attack movie, and I am suspending disbelief, and I. Again, I like this movie, but one thing that drove me nuts, the guy is wearing a suit or like a sport coat and a tie, and he's in a good chunk of the movie.
Yeah.
And you're running for your life, you're hiding, you're diving in water, you're doing all this stuff. The guy's shirt is tucked in and the tie is tied and he's wearing the jacket.
Stop.
The whole time.
No, come on. Come on.
And like, what are we doing? Come on. Big movie sets have continuity people like, or not continuity, like just someone who's like, hey, you know what? If you're in the nitty gritty, because like we know anytime there's a major storm, what does the weatherman do? He gets that jacket off. He rolls up the sleeves.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to show you he's in it.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's a dude in that movie and he's a good actor. Like I liked lots about this movie and I'm like, I just kept leaning in. Michelle's like, all right, enough about the shirt being tucked in. But I was like, people don't keep their shirt tucked in when they're running from terror. They just don't.
People don't keep their shirt tucked in when they're doing the conga line at a wedding. Ed?
Or wear a tie. Almost ever at this point.
As soon as that ceremony breaks up, what do? You go to the reception, you put your jacket on the back of your chair, you find your name tag,
put your jacket on the back of the chair. The top button is open.
You loosen the tie, if you even wore one, you undo the top button, and then once you get out there and start cutting a rug, once they start playing that YMCA, you throw up that Y, the shirt is coming out.
Shirt is out.
Shirt is out on Y. So,
all right, enough about the tuck. Enough about the tuck. I'm like, Michelle, he's still got the fucking tucked in shirt.
Yes.
I just couldn't let it go. And again, I like the movie. And anyone who wants to see it, I'm not spoiling anything, but I am going to spoil this because you're going to watch that movie and be like, this motherfucker has the tie tightened and the shirt tucked in.
It's actually so aggravating just hearing about it that I don't think I can participate. Like it's
a good
actually that irritating. Yes.
But
yeah,
you were in the Queen City.
And I feel terrible because I was with Katie Shady and Mr. Shady. And I'd spent the night at their home. I got into town. Oh, first of all, Ed,
did you get the tater tots?
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it. Let's go chronologically.
Okay.
I book my flight late. So from Orange County to Cincinnati, as you may guess, there is not many direct flights.
Like 30 a day type of thing?
Yes. So I had to, unfortunately, make a connection via Delta Airlines in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hotlanta.
And I was a little frazzled when I left and it was early morning flight and I just kind of like threw all my shit in a bag. I get on the plane and I'm sitting there listening to a podcast for maybe like the first half hour, 45 minutes. And I can't sleep on planes. I got the sleep apnea. I immediately start choking every time I fall asleep if I don't have the machine on. So I'm just kind of sitting there and I just happened to glance down at my phone and I look down and I got like 28% battery and we'd just taken off. We're 28 minutes into the flight.
To me, when I see 28%, feels like 4%.
Yeah, it's exactly. And I got to get to Atlanta and then I got to get on and then I got to alert people of my presence. And then I got to get on another flight and let them know that they're picking me up. And it ended up that my flight was delayed. No crew, Ed. All the passengers are there at the plane. They're ready to board the plane at my connection. And the gate agent, toughest job in the airport, is like, yeah, we're going to have to hold off because there's no crew for this flight. How do you have a plane?
They're playing by different rules. They play by different rules. Yeah. I've been at the mercy of the crew that's just not there.
Yeah. And I'm walking around the airport. I'm like, do I get a beer? What do I do here? And I look around and I see a bunch of crews standing around. It's like they're doing rock, paper, scissors to be the crew. But prior to that, get ahead of myself.
I just want to add... Yeah. Yeah. We know the gate agents are doing their work.
Of course, always.
They don't fuck around
in the game. Yeah,
of course.
I'm faced with a dilemma on the plane.
Yeah,
I got to save my battery. I realize also I have no cord. I can't charge it because there is a USB in the seat.
Oh, you don't have the cord. You go low power mode there, right?
yes, I go low power mode, but I'm still, it's a 4.5 hour flight. Like I'm going to use the whole battery.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
From Atlanta, it's not.
No. We're backtracking. From Orange County to Atlanta.
Okay.
It's 4.5 hours.
Got it.
So it's like 4 hours, 40 minutes. And 28 minutes into the flight, I realize I've got 20% battery. So I go, okay, I'm just going to have to conserve. And I'm like, well, I got a book in my bag and I don't have the headphones that plug into the seat. And I didn't ask the stewardess and I'm a little hungover and I just fucking didn't have the energy for anything, Ed. So I raw dogged it.
Holy shit.
I just sat there talking about this
and like, yeah. But your thing is you can't sleep now.
Yeah, I can't sleep. So I just sat there. I just didn't have the energy to get my book out of my bag. Like it was under the seat and I could have asked for the headphones. I don't know. I just didn't have it. I just sat there and I just fucking stared down the aisle of the flight for 4 hours, Ed, just sitting there, just stared right ahead.
Serial killer now.
Yes. Like David Putty. I just looked on. I just noticed what people were doing. So I don't know if that counts. I did notice that some kid.
That's terrifying. This is chilling for me. Like I'm like now doing a podcast with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes,
like I'm in it now.
I didn't raw dog. I was a victim of circumstance, Ed. I didn't have the things I needed to do what I wanted to do. And I didn't have the energy to pivot. So explain to me
the sleeping thing. Like I know of the CPAP machines. Like I know how it works, but that means you can't doze off ever. Like you can't just fall asleep in a chair.
No. Because as soon as I start to fall asleep, my entire
throat, choke yourself out.
Yeah. My nasal area, throat area, just it relaxes and collapses. So I'll go like this. And I'll start choking to death and wake up. It's actually a nightmare.
So it's like you've taken poppers.
Yes, very much. Yes, very similar to having taken poppers. My asshole's very relaxed. And so, yeah, I can't sleep without the machine. I think I've been targeted by some and there's a lot of CPAPers in the audience. Please, people, reach out. What do you do? Because, like, and this won't affect me very much, but Ed, I can never camp. Because
I would never camp.
Yeah, well, neither would I. But I couldn't if I needed to because I have to plug in my machine. Yeah, I think there are some battery powered CPAP machines out there. I know because I've been targeted by some ads that there's actually some like devices, like some stents that you can actually slide like a mesh thing into your sinus. That will like keep that and your throat open so you can breathe. But it depends on what kind of sleep apnea you have. And I have like the kind that's like brain, like my brain just forgets to keep breathing unless I have constant airflow. So yeah, that's a nightmare. And also the bigger point here is that I raw dogged a 4 hour flight. I just sat there.
That's crazy to me. So what do you do? Do you play like mind games? Like, do you try to play the alphabet game that you do with your kids on the road? Like, all right, find the alphabet on license plates and shit like that.
I just kind of like looked. I looked and I noticed that the some
looked kid, like lurked. Like, did you creep people out?
No. I just like kind of stared just like at nothing down the aisle.
I think you creep people out.
Probably once in a while, what I would do, I would push that button on the back of the seat to show me like how much time was left on the flight. Because I think raw doggers will just stare at that the whole time. And I didn't really, I just like try to guess.
You just go full on flight map.
Yeah. I'd be like, is there 2.5 hours left? And I'd push the button. I'm like, oh, 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's not that bad. And then I try to guess. I bet 40 minutes has gone by. Oh, 28 minutes. So it was like that. Some kid across the aisle, he did something much worse than me raw dogging. He was probably about
TikToking about you.
No, because I don't think he paid for the Wi-Fi, but he was sat there with his phone and he held his phone up held his phone in his hand about 2 inches from his face and he watched an entire Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movie.
The one where she has the
amnesia.
I think. See, I've seen that one. That's the only one I've seen.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. So it was they were yeah,
my reference is poor.
They were current age. So it's like I don't know if it's a sequel. I don't know if they've done multiple movies together because you're thinking of 50 First Dates.
Yeah. 50 First Dates Part 2. Still yes, forgetting.
Yes. It was like 51 First Dates. But he just sat there and I'm like, he was holding his arm up, like not leaned against anything. And I'm like, isn't this fucking kid's arm getting tired? And also.
Did he go vertical?
Yeah. He had the phone horizontal, okay. But he was like holding it in his index finger and thumb in front of his eye with his arm crooked. And he just held it there the whole fucking time. And that movie was probably on the machine. Like he could have watched it. There's endless movies on the flight.
Yeah. When I'm like recording my kids doing something.
Yeah.
My arm gets tired after like 14 seconds. I'm like, shit, I got to find an elbow rest. There's no way I can keep this.
Yeah. You got to keep switching hands and stuff. This kid just fucking held it. I mean, he was just like. I mean, maybe his arm had atrophied, like that Indian guy that raised his arm in protest in like 1971.
Oh, yeah, and they need forever like protesting.
Yes, his arm is just still, he's got a skeleton arm still in the air to this day.
It's like the kid I went to middle school with who tried a homemade firework and it blew off his eyebrows. And then the eyebrows didn't grow back for like 2 years. He just looked surprised for years.
There was a guy, there was a kid, a grade behind me that only had the thumb and the index on his hand because he'd blown the other three off with an M80. He was in like fourth grade. So Ed, I went to Cincinnati.
Okay.
I stayed with the Shadys. I got there, finally made it, got there in the evening. We hung out in the pool, drank plenty, listened to some music. Eventually passed out. It was like late at night, got out of the pool, slept in their guest room, got up the next morning and we were going to the Reds game, Ed, but we were a little tired and it was a little early yet. So no like breakfast places were open, but luckily Motor Pub opened.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So we went to Motor Pub.
We got a pregame for Ellie De La Cruz.
Yes. Yes. That's
Let's
exactly.
Go Motor Pub.
That's exactly what we did. And then, so we went to Motor Pub. We got some Bloody Marys.
And a
big old bowl of those delicious tots.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah. And and Mr. Shady brought out some malt vinegar. We drizzled some malt vinegar on those tots.
You're speaking my language.
They were hot and crispy. They're beautiful. And at one point, before the tots were delivered, Katie Shady's like, well, we got to get a picture of these tots for Ed. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But then once the tots got delivered, that all everything was out of our mind. Yeah. We just went in on the tots, ate the tots.
You give me a plate of tots and it's like those 80s videos of piranhas where you just dunk the cow in the piranha tank and you just gut it. Like I don't stop with tots.
No, it's impossible to, once you start, you can't stop. I mean, they're hot, they're crispy, they're soft in the middle. It's fucking made out of, it's fried potatoes, Ed. It's grated potatoes shaped into a barrel shape and then deep fried. And they're fantastic. I mean, they were so good.
And I'm preconditioned as an Irish person, like potatoes, this is what I do. Fried and potatoes.
British trying to starve you guys.
They did. They're like, well, your potato crops are ruined, so this is our best chance to murder you.
Yeah.
And the O'Dailies moved to Jersey City, New Jersey, and became
That's right. Yes, exactly. So, yes.
Just drop that O.
It's yes.
And here we
it's
are.
It's in your DNA. And then the one other thing that I did that I deeply regret, Ed, in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, spaghetti chili.
Yeah, I tried that chili, Ed.
So I know some people. I saw your video because you didn't do an Insta story. So I actually saw it. It was on the Instagram.
It was a hard post.
Original.
Yep.
And I've known people who have had it, and their reaction was similar to yours.
Yeah.
And I meant to reach out to you because what they would say is, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
But then late day, it was not fine. That's what I always heard.
I didn't have any gastrointestinal distress. I did. It was kind of tough because I got all set up. I'm like, I got to do a video about this. And Shay's like, yeah, you gotta do a video. So I set up the camera. I was out on the back patio. I set up the camera. I got the plate all ready. And then she was holding up. She had this Skyline Chili sign behind me. And I was like, really? Like, I had done some production there. And right as I was starting to video, her stepdad came out and sat directly in front of me as I was about to do the bite. And he was the benefactor. He is the one that had purchased me the chili I was about to eat. So I couldn't be too ungrateful at what during my review. Yes. And look, I ate the chili and I had one chili dog, and I can tell
love
you
a chili with, dog.
Oh, normally. Yes. I could tell you with tremendous certainty, Ed, that I will never again be trying the Skyline, anything from Skyline Chili, ever.
Well, what's the deal with the spaghetti?
It's not so much the spaghetti, Ed, because it seems like chili.
Too much. It's the chili itself. Yeah, is it sweeter than it should be?
That's what it is, Ed. And I went five-way, so that's... Let's see if we can count the. Okay, so five way. I got spaghetti with chili, cheese, onions, and beans. So that's all. That's all five items.
I would choose all of those because when you're at Skyline, you do the spaghetti because
you got to do it.
You got to do it, and the other things are very reasonable options.
Yeah, and I put a lot of cheese on it, and then I doused it with Tabasco sauce. So I'm like, it'll be fine because I hit it with Tabasco, but the chili is so sweet and cinnamony,
like brown sugar or something. Yes, it's cinnamony.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like chili because chili is a savory dish, and Skyline chili, unfortunately, not so savory. Just really jarring to the palate, in my opinion.
Oof.
Yeah, yeah, it was tough.
Thoughts and prayers.
One more thing, because we got a lot to get to today. One more thing, Ed. Today is, we need to celebrate someone. Today happens to be our dear departed friend, Kyle and Scani's birthday.
Oh.
I saw that his wife, he would have been, it's shocking to say this, but he would have been 37 years old today. The man lost his life tragically at 36 just a couple months ago. We miss him dearly. He was a great dude. We honor him on his birthday. He will always be part of our family here. And I thought I would just play a quick voicemail so we could all remember somebody that everybody loved, Kyle and Scani.
Hey guys, what's going on? Kyle and Scani here. Hey, thank you for what's your testicle. Well, I don't know anything personally, but I castrate all of our calves. So, I mean, I cut the nuts right out of them. I cut the sheep or cut the bottom of the sack off and the nuts drop out. And you're talking about a membrane, and this membrane, you got to slice very delicately. And that's the membrane that'll pull the ball up and down, you know, animals can suck it in or whatever. But as far as the inside of a testicle, like if I accidentally cut deep once, and it's just like a hamburger, but I would say more like a turkey or a chicken hamburger, kind of a white meat. It's just white ground. I mean, yeah, it looks just like hamburger. So yeah, I'd say it's white meat. I've had buddies that requested that they can get them from me to make Rocky Mountain oysters, and they say they are delicious. They invite me every day or every time that they make them, and I just have shit going on that day, and can't make it. So, hey, maybe this year I'll give her the old college try. So, yeah. Well, that's what I know about testicles. Keep it up, guys.
Peace. Oh, we miss you,
buddy.
That's
probably a top unknown caller from him.
He started calling me. And, that's just a random one that I picked. That was 2021.
The original tribute show where we talked about, and I'll repeat the same thing. It's like, all we can do is leave our mark in this world.
Yes, yes.
And that fucking dude did, and like, we will not forget him, and we'll try to always celebrate him because he was the best.
He really was the best. We miss him. Happy birthday, buddy. Let's talk about some people who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died? Who died?
Ed, it's been a while. Tell me who died. Who died? We got a long list of big hitters that died. Tell us who died.
So the first one matters a whole lot to me and lots of people, but I feel like she got the short shrift because there was a political assassination attempt on the same day.
Yeah.
And so she was just shuffled into the background. Shannon Doherty, the great Brenda from Beverly Hills 90210, 53 years old, breast cancer. And it made me sad because we were hearing about her battle with breast cancer like
years.
Six, 7 years. Like, it's been a while. So she's had a rough go of it. And very sad. And she was like legit iconic in the mid 90s. Like, she was as big as anyone for a stretch.
Both her and Dylan. Stunningly.
Yeah, that's right. We lost Brendan to Brendan and Dylan.
A couple. Now, she was, and as we know, you are one of the two world's foremost experts on Beverly Hills 90210. She was only on three seasons, right? Like, the show ran 7, 8, 9 seasons.
But she got a
contract dispute.
She was full of sass, but she knew value. And I bet she made a ton more money on that Charmed, which lasted forever. I never saw it, but like, I know it existed for a long time with Milano and some other woman.
Yes. Becky Saturday.
Becky Saturday. No,
I made that up.
No, that sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably right. very sad. Iconic portrayal. Shannon Doherty, 53 years old. Brenda
Walsh.
Very sad.
Very sad. We lost Richard Simmons.
Unbelievable.
76 years old. Now, we have some younger listeners, and I don't know when his window closed.
But it was in the 90s, I would say. Mid to late 90s, right?
But from the mid to late 80s to mid 90s, he was ubiquitous. Everywhere. He was everywhere.
Everywhere. So he was a fitness guru, and look, he was an effeminate gay man fitness guru that was
never in good shape.
He was very doughy. He was not
sweating to the altar. He had like, you know, they would have the exercise tapes, and it would be like 1-800, you know, call, and you get these 7 tapes for $300, like a crazy horrible value.
Yeah.
But he made a ton of money off of that. He was very big.
He just did aerobics in little shorts, and he would have like, he really he was
perm, red perm.
Yes. And he was really, early to the body positive movement, and not just his own disgusting doughy body, but like, he would have larger women there, and he was like, hey, let's work. Like, let's dance around. Let's sweat to the oldies. And this guy made a fucking mint. Now, I will say this, Ed. He died at 76 last week. I mean, in 1992, I thought he was 67.
We're supposed to believe he was in his 40s then?
Yes. Like, that's just, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. It's that maybe that tanning machine that's, and also
probably it was the tanning, but it was, he was so weird in that, like, he just existed. Like, the, he was a panelist on talk shows. And so, like, he was just around, and like, his whole shtick was, I'm going to get you in shape, except nobody gets in shape, and neither am I.
Yeah, yeah. He would come on Letterman, and then Letterman would be real mean to him the whole time.
And Stern,
then
he, too.
And he tried to get Letterman to do, like, a little, like, side-to-side, like, clap, like, workout thing, like, on stage. And Letterman would just, like, rip on him the whole time. And it was great, because he knew he was selling his deal of meals by being on that show. Yeah. So he had a good sport. And sadly, he passed before he got to see Pauly Shore's portrayal of him in the Richard Simmons biopic that's soon to come out.
Oh, I was thinking it's sad because he didn't find the right girl yet.
He didn't. Howard.
He was never out. I mean, he never was.
Yeah, and Howard would always be like, Richard, come on, when are you going to find the right woman? You're working too much. Like, when are you going to settle down? Is there a Mrs. Richard Simmons in the future? And it was just like a really
funny. And he would just play it totally straight like that and just never suggest anything.
It was great.
This is a super underrated one. R.I.P. Yes. to the great Martin Mull, 80 years old.
Amazing.
If you don't know him, watch the movie Mr. Mom.
So good.
And the scene, and I saw this interview like a few years ago, the great scene where Martin Mull's the businessman picking up Terry Garr, the wife, and Michael Keaton is trying to seem very manly. And he's got the chainsaw, and he's like, he's out there like trying to look super manly because he's out of work. And he
he's rewiring
the house.
Yeah. Yeah. He's blowing out a wall. He's got all these plans, and he's got his chainsaw. He's getting ready to go to work.
And Martin Mull's character asks him like, you installing a 220, and Michael Keaton goes 220, 221, whatever it takes. Yeah. And the interview, he goes, Keaton goes, that was Mull's line. And he said, oh, this would be super funny if you said it. And he was like, that was so generous because I wasn't like a big deal in my career. And Martin Mull like was a known comedic actor. And he's like, no, you take it because this would be better for you to say it. And it was funny.
Yeah.
And that's the best line of the movie. It shows like that both that is he's very funny and he was a good dude.
Yeah. Yes. He was just great and everything. Just very deadpan. Just a fantastic comedic actor. R.I.P. And what a name. Martin Mull.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
R.I.P. James B. Sicking. He played Doogie Howser's TV dad, 90 years old, dementia. Nice long run for him. We should talk about the show Doogie Howser for those who don't know.
I mean, he was a child doctor.
The premise was, physician. I think it started and he's a 13-year-old and he had graduated Harvard Medical School and he was a doctor.
Yeah.
And the whole premise there would be like, he's like, well, I'm going to do your heart surgery or something.
Yeah,
and there'd be like, somebody be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not having a 13-year-old kid operate on me with my life in the balance. And they're like, look at this closed-minded asshole. And you'd be like, what? Or this is a complicated pregnancy. Both, the twins might die. And they're like, well, I don't want the 13-year-old. And they're like, this is some sort of asshole. And then the dad would be like, Doogie, some people are closed-minded. And that was the whole premise of the show.
Then at the end, he would journal about it.
Then they'd play the organ music at the end and they'd be like, sometimes I learn that when we're closed-minded, we're closing ourselves off from love. Men would be like, what? What the fuck kind of lesson was that?
That gave way to the current, or at least current until recently, autism doctor show where the autism.
Oh, I know it exists. I know it exists, but I've never seen it. But it's crazy.
But I was watching some sporting event, and then the sporting event ended, and then there was a commercial for the fucking autism doctor show. And I'm like, that's still on? But that's right. That's a direct, that's a, you could draw a direct line from Doogie Howser to the autism doctor. You know, it's basically the same premise.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, the kid's balls haven't dropped. I'd prefer if he doesn't do my heart surgery. And they're like, oh, look at this grumpy Gus.
What an asshole. Wants a skilled surgeon. Unbelievable.
Anyway, R.I.P. James Sicking, who played his dad in that show. Yeah. We lost today Joe Jellybean Bryant, father of Kobe, 69 years old, stroke. Last we heard of him, he was pawning all of Kobe's stuff while he was still alive.
Well, Kobe cut him off because he had the audacity to suggest that it might be a good idea to get a prenup with his when he married his child bride. Like, that's
right. He's like, hey, Kobe, you might have urges with towel girls.
Yeah.
Yes, in exactly. Vail.
Yeah. Might be a good idea to protect yourself as you are a brand. Just an idea. And also, your bride is 17 years old. You know, might just think about it. Just, you know, just looking out for you as I am your father.
But that was enough. He was cut off.
Outlived Kobe, though.
He did, because you know what? When there was a traffic jam, he's like, well, fuck it. Let's take a helicopter into the clouds.
Yes. That was an idea.
RIP to Kyrie Jackson, the Vikings' third round pick, a cornerback, 24 years old, car crash. Awful. He
very sad.
I believe single car accident. Oh, no.
It's so hard to find good defensive backs this year, especially someone that can single cover on the edge. Very sad.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think he was at three schools. I think he started at Maryland and either went from Bama to Oregon or vice versa, to Bama. But third round pick, died before he could play an NFL game. Very sad. RIP Jacoby Jones. He was the Super Bowl hero. He was a wide receiver. He, against the Niners, he took the second half kickoff to the house and then also caught a touchdown. And remember when the Broncos safety didn't follow the job of being safety in the AFC Championship and Joe Flacco just floated one over the middle?
Yes.
Well, it was Jacoby Jones who caught that and took it to the house. So, like,
wow,
he is very much the guy, the reason that the Ravens won a Super Bowl like 10 years ago.
That's right. R.I.P. Jacoby 40
years
Jones.
Old, and they just said he died in his sleep. I don't know anything more.
Yeah, that's very suspicious.
R.I.P. Orlando Cepeda, Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher, I believe, or maybe not pitcher, 86 years old. I thought he left us in 1996, but, you know, R.I.P. Yeah,
I know. If you had told me Orlando Cepeda died in 1968, I would 100% have believed you.
But he was a name we knew from, like, yesteryear, from the Willie Mays years.
Yeah, he was a Giant, right? Fuck the Giants. Yes. But also, you know, he just a little before my time.
R.I.P. You know,
Ed, are you one of these guys that plays the Immaculate Grid?
Occasionally, but like, today I did like two answers from a category and I was like, that's enough.
It's too hard. Yeah. I know some guys that play it and they're way too into it and they text and they like look up stuff on Baseball Reference. And I'm like,
it's just,
it's a lot.
It's one of the tabs open. And so when I close all my tabs, because of the show that happened to be up and I saw it was like, oh, a Yankee and Indian. I answered. But like, if there's an Oriole, I'll say like, let's see if I can get all three Orioles.
Mark Belanger. Yeah.
Yeah. Now when I said for one of the earlier ones,
this is shocking.
If you're from a time.
Yeah. This is wild.
But when I say the mid 80s, late 80s, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, she was a sex therapist that was like a Nazi sniper.
Yeah.
And she was on Johnny Carson and every talk show, like for a 5-6 year stretch, we couldn't avoid her.
Yeah.
And she was an ancient old German lady who was just talking about like, you know, sex positivity, which great for her.
Yeah.
But she died.
Yeah.
This week. Unreal. And she was 96.
That's unreal. That's just
The whole gimmick.
Yes,
she was old. Okay. Here's a woman in her 90s talking about sex, and like that's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
But when we saw her, she was like early 60s.
She was. Yeah, and she had that accent, and she was very little
German.
And the joke. So I don't know if she was like one of the boys in Brazil type of people, Ed, like the you know, like Oppenheimer and whatnot, like the guys that we took, you know, to help us build the rockets and whatnot. Because she was just around with that thick ass accent, and it was like it was really cute because you're like, there's no way this lady's ever fucked, and she's like, you have to find the clitoris,
the balls.
Yes, yeah, and she would talk real naughty and you know, but clinical. And that was this, you know, this was long before Haktua, Ed. This is back in the day.
Ein Haktua?
Yes. Like, spit on that thing. Like, it's, yeah, like.
But it was like this little old lady, and she was like, I don't know, she was like DeVito height. She was like 4'11".
Yes.
And she had this crazy accent, and she was crazy old, and she was crazy just old. Talking about like. Yeah, das lick taint, and you're like, what? And that was the whole thing, but she wasn't even that old.
Asshole. Yes, and it's like, she was like 60. Like, it's crazy that she was an old lady in 1988, but she wasn't. She was just a regular lady, but her brand was being an old lady, I guess, and German.
Yeah, R.P. Monty Kiffin. Monty Kiffin, father of Lane, he was a NFL defensive coordinator, which in the era where you wouldn't even hear about coordinators, you always heard about him and the Tampa 2, 84 years old, famous NFL dude.
Yeah,
this is a crazy one. R.I.P. Benji Gregory, the child star who played Brian, the son on Alf.
Yeah.
46 years old. He was found dead in an overheated car in Phoenix.
Yeah.
In a Phoenix parking lot, and his dog was in there.
It's service dog.
And I looked in the article, and they're like, oh, he gave a recent interview to like some, you know, podcast or something or video. And I watched it, and like, he wasn't like a special needs kid.
Yeah.
But something was like, one of his eyes was closed and the other was half open. Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened to him, but like
lithium.
He was off. Yeah. He was just not quite right.
That seems to be a common theme amongst children that were put to work for long hours unsupervised. And it's almost like the constant rapings and molestings affected them later in life. It's just
now,
kind of a guess.
Now, boiling in a Phoenix parking lot is terrible.
It's a bad way to go.
Probably not as bad a way to go as his TV dad Willie went.
Wait, in the crack house? Did we lose him in the crack house? Yeah,
right. He was choking for coke.
Yeah,
and, it was a rough end for Willie.
Yeah, the hot car in Phoenix is probably less painful than choking to death on homeless semen.
Yeah, yards of cock.
In a crack house.
He led the NFL in yacht. RIP to Pal Enger. He was the Norwegian art thief behind the famed 1994 heist of Munch's The Scream. He was 57. I read this article, I think, like when I was in college or something, or no, I was in high school, the 94 heist. And it was amazing because this dude looked, everyone knows The Scream. It's one of the most famous paintings of all time. Yep. And he's like, there is no security. It's just like, you know, Norwegian guy at the door, like, hey, are you sure that's okay? And he's like, what if we just bum rush this thing and just take it off the wall and run out? Yeah. And that's what they did. The problem is, it's a two-pronged thing when you steal art. You have to have a buyer lined up.
How do you get rid of it? Yeah.
And that was that was his undoing, because he didn't have the proper way to get rid of it and make money.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the issue. There's, you know, you got to sit on it. You got to be able to fence it. I am reminded though, Ed, of a 21-ish year-old Brian Beckner.
Yeah.
Who one time sitting drunk at the at a bar in the Mammoth at the, I don't even know if I should say the name of it, the, of a German themed bar in a mountainous town in the eastern Sierra Nevada area, drunk on Jägermeister, there was a picture on the wall, a large, like maybe like 36 by 36, like blown up, like art picture of like a Victorian woman who's like, who was like the queen or something. And then another younger Victorian woman bent over on her lap with her bare buttocks showing, getting a spanking. And I thought that was a delightful picture. So I grabbed it off the wall and I ran out of the bar and ran back to the condo I was staying at. And then the next morning, with incredible guilt, I walked back and just set it back on the porch of the closed bar. And then to this day, it's still there. Every time I've been into that bar, immediately after that, they rehung it behind the bar and not actually out in the bar area.
I gotta say, yeah, you're not all that different from Pal Anger. I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how it ended, but I know that like he saw it and had to have it. But then that was the end of the plan.
Yeah, because it's so and beautiful.
Kind of like you. You're yes, like I was I overcome see this spanking, and yes. You're like I gotta have it. But then what?
Yes, I was overcome by its incredible beauty. But then I was like, look, there were people around that knew me that would have known about that. And it was embarrassing. Right, look, it was a whole spread. Thing.
I know that. I know the dude who took that. Yeah.
I couldn't have that on my conscience. I've done many things that I didn't apologize for. And this one I did. So I put it back. So me and Paul Anger, basically the same dude.
R.I.P. Shelley Duvall, 75 years old, the wife in The Shining, which is what most people know her from.
Yes.
And also, I highly recommend anyone just YouTube, "Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall." And there's a super cut where she used to host a children's program.
Oh, I remember.
She just says, "Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall," in different costumes, like 1,000 times in a minute. It's amazing.
Oh, that is. Yeah.
I'm Shelley Duvall.
That was on around the same time as Pee-wee's Playhouse. I think it might have even been on also on CBS along with Pee-wee's Playhouse. And
she would do like recreations of Princess of the Pea and The Emperor's New Clothes and shit like that.
Yeah.
And she hosted it.
Now, she was supposedly terrorized by Stanley Kubrick on that, but everyone that worked for Stanley Kubrick, I think, was terrorized by him because
he's a crazy person.
He was a crazy person, but he wanted her to feel terrified for her performance. What? Yeah,
watching The Shining.
Yeah,
she looked terrified.
Got a pretty good performance out of her.
Great in that performance.
It's a good movie, and I'll tell you what. She seems very scared in that movie, Ed.
When that axe brings down the door,
she's
terrified.
She definitely was. But R.I.P. Shelley Duvall. Also, she played Olive Oil in the Robin Williams version of Popeye. Yeah.
Popeye. Yeah. The soapicide continues.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Doug Sheehan, General Hospital actor, 75 years old.
Did he play one of the doctors?
That's a good guess anytime. Yeah. But I would guess.
I know this guy. Yeah.
That it's been 2 years and we haven't gone 3 weeks without a soap opera actor dying.
And mostly from.
Mostly General Hospital.
General Hospital. Also, this guy was on other shows. I remember him. This guy's
and also hospital show physician heal thyself. Why is everyone dying from a hospital show?
They got to look into this. This guy's very recognizable. Mostly because I mean, he was also on MacGyver, other shows, Knott's Landing.
Right. I think I don't know him from that, but from GH, but
yeah.
But yeah, he I think it's MacGyver that I know him from.
Yeah, yeah.
You know this guy if you're of a certain age.
Yeah, he's got a very recognizable face. R.I.P. Nice long run.
R.I.P. John Landau, I believe the son of Martin, producer behind Avatar and Titanic, 63 years old. Mm. I got a beef with this dude because I think he was greenlighting bad James Cameron projects. Like,
yeah.
T2, great.
Great.
Titanic and Avatar, not so good.
Oh, but yeah, okay, counterpoint, Ed. I bet this John Landau, I bet he died in a pretty nice house. Just
yeah. The mattress pressed against the ceiling with all the money under.
Yes. Yeah.
He died with a few shekels, I'm sure.
Yeah, I bet his heirs are doing that thing where they're okay, sorry, dad's gone, so let's split it up. Because there's probably a lot to share.
I'm sure Grandpa John left us something.
Yes.
Finally, RIP Evan Wright, the Generation Kill writer, 59 years old, died by suicide. This was a David Simon HBO miniseries about obviously our missteps in many war missteps. It was an unflinching portrayal of the chaos of our Iraq, right?
Yeah. He was embedded with the Marines in Iraq and wrote about it. And it was like the first, like real firsthand where fog of war type shit where that's
like, this is a clusterfuck. We both don't
what
have
are we doing
the,
here.
We don't have the clarity of what we're doing. Yeah. We don't have resource allocation. Like what? Yeah. And it's like the guys who joined the, forgive me if it's the wrong term, the battalion, they had the right thought going into it, and then the disillusion of being like, wait a second, this is everything's fucked here, and we are in a losing situation at best.
Yeah. What are we doing? And also in the movie, Evan Wright was played by the guy, I think his name's Lee Turgeson, who was
Tobias Beecher.
Yes, he was Tobias Beecher in Oz. The guy who was here today.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, sadly, I guess there was just a documentary that came out about, I think it's called The Seed, like one of those Outward Bound schools where they like send wayward youth and they abuse the kids badly. And Evan Wright, that was his childhood. And I guess.
Okay. So he's a lot of demons.
PTSD, yes. And that is part of why he took his own life. So RIP. Yes. A lot of passings this week. Fantastic work, Ed. Let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports this week?
Well, so we're getting closer to college football, which makes me very happy. And you're having the media days, like the conference media days. Yeah. And Oklahoma State Mike Gundy was asked about his star running back, Ollie Gordon, is not going to be suspended despite a recent DUI. Yeah. And his explanation was, well, I looked at the BAC and I think it's about 4 to 5 drinks. And I got to say, like, I'm not going to suspend him because I've done that at least 1,000 times.
I mean, couple things here. First of all, how is Mike Gundy's been the fucking coach there forever?
Forever. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And I think it has something to do with him having that beautiful head of hair. He's got that gorgeous head of hair, and then he wears that visor on top, and it looks like it's one of those hair wigs that's attached to the visor. But that's just his beautiful hair. And they're like, how can we get rid of a guy? We're never going to find a guy like that with that beautiful hair anymore. And look, what he doesn't want to say is, this is Oklahoma, and that's not illegal here.
Exactly. That's it.
It's what we do. This is what we do
in Oklahoma. I'm not saying that I live in the bastion of everything, but
right.
If you drove on 5 beers 1,000 times where I live, it's not going to end well. But in Oklahoma, you could do it 1,000 times.
Yes, of course. There's no people. I happened to mention to Fan one time that Toby Keith died, and I go, oh, he was from Oklahoma. And Fan goes, well, he's like, I can guarantee you one thing. And I go, what's that? He goes, he didn't die under a tree. And I go, why is that? He goes, because there ain't any in Oklahoma. So look, you're driving through Oklahoma. There's no chance you're going to run into a tree. It's fucking flat and boring. And, you know, it's just, there's different rules there. And also, I bet you this guy's a pretty fucking good running back. And Mike Gundy doesn't give a fuck. He needs him on the field. He's got to win games.
It was like, oh my God, why am I driving? Who's the Foghorn Leghorn Florida State coach?
Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden. Yeah. He used to have dudes get arrested in the off season, and then he'd lead off the year with Miami, and he'd be like, well, I'm going to suspend him for the second game of the year against, a Texas double A&T. Directional school. Yeah.
Yeah.
A double directional, because it's like,
yeah.
I know Ernie Sims kicked the shit out of this girl on campus in front of everyone, but I think he'll learn his lesson not against Miami, but against
it's a pretty big game.
Southwestern Louisiana.
I appreciate when they're unapologetic about that shit.
When they're the most college football coach they can be.
Absolutely. And look, anybody with a head of hair that beautiful, they get a pass from me. I'm sorry. It's just, it's too good. I'm too envious of that beautiful head of hair.
This was a wild story. Yeah. Jerry Rice confronted reporters at a celebrity golf tournament threatening violence against them. And when people did some digging, I'm like, well, what did Rice flip out about? A reporter asked Rice if the Chiefs receiving corps was good enough to win another Super Bowl, and he just lost it and started screaming at them.
Yeah, he said they had smirks on their faces, which is yes, it's got to be, or maybe alcohol.
Like Jerry Rice was known to be like a pretty chill dude. Obviously a great player.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, we had a guest on this show who recounted a story one time where he had booked him for an interview. And when he came in the studio, he was getting ready to do the interview. He was like, hold on before we get started. Has anybody got any lotion for my legs? His legs were a little dry, and he wanted to lotion up his legs. So, I mean, he's just a nice, got that soft voice. He's from Mississippi.
Apparently soft skin with all that lotion.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's play this. Let's see if we're. I will fuck you up. The guy's just standing there with a microphone with his hand in his pocket, and Jerry Rice is like getting in his face, apparently because he had a smirk.
It's wild.
He has to apologize for it, so I don't know. Maybe more will come out about this, but I'm a little concerned about old Jerry. Are we going to find out he's waving his dick around in a pool in Dubai? Now, he never crossed paths with Vontaze Burfict. I mean, he was long retired when Vontaze Burfict came in the league, but there definitely were some Bill Romanowski.
He played in an era where the rules were not as protective of the offensive player.
I bet Wilbur Marshall got him one or two times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And happen. From what I read about Wilbur Marshall, he got himself a couple times.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So maybe the last live show we did, or live-ish show, we were talking a lot about Joey Chestnut getting the boot.
Yes.
And so Nathan's hot dog contest was like open to some new contestants winning.
Yeah.
And one of the eaters apologized after cheating accusations. Apparently they judge it based on the plates. Completed.
Yeah.
And there was a discrepancy where there were extra plates and people were like, he didn't eat that many plates.
Wow.
And so he apologized before they like accused him of something. He apologized.
Yeah.
Which means he definitely cheated with the plates.
Of course he did. Now, I've caught video of this before, and it seems like the judging is done based on just a dude standing there watching you eat the dogs and just like tallying them on a little flip thing.
Right.
And they're doing it two at a time. So assuming you can count by twos, it seems like.
But have you seen those people? Because I don't think counting by twos is a given.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And also, I mean, they're playing it fast and loose with the bun situation, Ed, and really even the dog. Because, okay, they're typewriter styling the dogs two at a time.
All the crumbs, all the like the wet crumbs.
Right, right. Sometimes I watch the Real World Road Rules Challenge, or now just referred to as the challenge. And a lot of times, they're part of one of the challenges will be like downing a protein shake of just like something disgusting with that's like. It's like, you know, fish and just like other, like all bunch of smelly stuff.
Oh, so this is like the old Joe Rogan show. What was that called?
Yes. Fear Factor. Yes. Much like Fear Factor. So, but then people will start down in it and they'll start puking. And then it's like, keep drinking. You got to keep drinking. And I would just be like, oh, I'm puking. And I would just like pour it in. Look at me puking. And then I would just keep like spitting it out. And it's, and then a lot of it's like pouring down the side of their face. And it's like, how much did you really drink? You know, it's really hard to say.
Right. But I don't know. A mess all around.
Yeah. And this harkens back to our meatballs episode where they had the hot dog eating contest on meatballs that was determined by
the stomach. The stomach was the.
Yeah.
The hot dog eater.
And then the other guy, our guy.
They both died, right?
They died like a week apart somehow. And that was, again, they were playing it fast and loose there. It seems to me that there should be like some, like how many dogs do you deliver to the guy? And you can't just have fucking loose plates just strewn about.
We're counting plates? What is this? What year is this?
You start with X amount of dogs, right? Each person, say you give each person 80 dogs in front of them. Everyone gets 80 right in front of them, and then you just subtract how many are left at the end, right? And then as long as there's no shenanigans with the buns, because they wet those buns and they just disintegrate. I think they just smash them against their face and let them fall, and it's kind of like fine.
Like Cookie Monster. You know, that puppet's not actually eating the cookies, but he's making crumbs and they fall apart. And exactly. So nobody's a Cookie Monster truther.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Cookie Monster isn't actually eating the
cookies.
There's
no hole for him to digest. Like he's just crumbling cookies.
Yes.
I hate to break this for you.
Oh, yes. That is, my childhood was just ruined. Next, you're going to tell me that Bert and Ernie weren't just good friends.
Yeah.
They took baths together.
Hey, listen, they occasionally played Come on the Cracker, but that's fine. But meanwhile, while this was going on, this Joey Chestnut free thing, and we learned that like he and Kobayashi are doing a Netflix event, but Joey Chestnut streamed himself just eating 57 hot dogs by himself to like show up the contestants.
So
which is just another reason to hate this dude.
Yeah. He's so ugly and he's such a fucking loser. And really, I mean, that is a good implementation area for my sterilization laser. So if if you click, you're like, hey, Joey Chestnut's going to eat as many dogs as he can by himself at noon on the 4th of July. I got to tune into that.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. As soon as you click the link, you hear, and that's Child Protective Services at your door, and they're taking your kids because you shouldn't be allowed to have them because you chose to watch that thing on TV. Here's the saddest thing I just realized, Ed. The cheater, Nick Weary, finished fourth.
What's going on with his hair? Yeah. To cheat coming in fourth.
Cheated to a fourth place?
Yeah, buddy. You know, Ben Johnson, he cheated and came in first.
He won.
You don't
cheat. He blew all those guys away.
Fourth. Ben Johnson's like, I'm putting jet fuel in this fucking engine of mine, and I'm gonna obliterate the world record by like 2/10 of a second.
Yeah.
You were cheating coming fourth.
When Weary finished the contest last week, judges found that he had eaten 46.75. Again, Ed.
So did you eat the hot dog or did you not?
0.25? Like, who's telling me that is that the wiener? Is that the bun? Is that both? Come on.
I would propose that just staring at a quarter of a hot dog left there is the most disgusting thing about this competition.
It's a real bummer watching the whole thing. Moments after that count, though, he self-reported, Ed. He asked to have the officials check his results again. Oh, no, never mind.
But you know who does that? Who? Someone who's a cheater, but also a bitch about being a cheater. Yeah. Like, I promise you. The rest of 2024, you're not going to hear me talk about politics at all.
Yeah.
But the only thing, and I don't like this man, but the only thing I respect about Trump.
Yeah.
He doesn't say like, well, you know what? I did cheat. He's like, you know what? Yeah. This is me and I am the best me I can be. And he just plows ahead. You can't be a cheater and then be like, you know, I cheated and I came in fourth. Like, this is all bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, he asked for another. He said, check my stack. And they determined there was another plate in his finished stack. The contest relies on the number of plates consumed, each of which contains 5 dogs. Ed, he asked for a recount. That recount gave him a new score of 51.75. So he's like, throw 5 more dogs on my number. Just to get to fourth place, Ed.
You know what? Who I wish could have been at the hot dog contest? Remember when we did the stories about the guys who put the weights in the fish? And they just kept screaming, there are weights in the fish!
Weights in the fish. Yeah, we got weights in the fish.
We got extra plates in the hot dog stack. Yes.
The recount gave him a new score of 51.75, which didn't change any of the standings, Ed. But listen to this. It did place Weary in an elite group within the demimonde of competitive eating. Those brave souls who have consumed more than 50 hot dogs in a competition. This week, the New York Post, in a story with the headline Buns of Steel, reported that several unnamed people had accused Weary of tampering with the plates to add to his score on a website.
Can you imagine studying your whole life and like just trying your best to like break in? You're thinking, you know, I watch all the President's Men. Like I'm doing everything I can to be the best journalist I can be. And they're like, you're going to investigate the hot dog cheaters.
Yeah.
Like that's your beat.
Yeah. That's a coveted beat, Ed. The hot dog, because he's probably got to cover competitive eating all year. He's got to go out to wings.
He's got like Boston cream donut and shit like that. Like,
yes.
That's a really shitty thing.
Yeah. Wow. Major League Eating is not taking kindly to this, Ed. I'm just wondering if he's going to, if I mean, there's a lot of details here. Alerted to these accusations, MLE said it looked into the matter, but ultimately they did not overturn the score before being asked to do so. MLE investigated the incident, carefully considering the complaint and reviewing the videos provided to us. Like many other professional sports leagues, it is our policy to not overturn judges' decisions after the final results have been recorded. Ed, this is a Jim Joyce situation. Jim Joyce.
I know I was dead wrong about that.
Yeah.
That no. Cabrera.
Yes. He missed the last out of a perfect game by a fucking step and a half.
There's no way we can overturn it. Yeah, there's and no way to do this.
The rest of the umps, this is pre-replay, the rest of the umps saw it, obviously saw it. Was everyone in the stadium saw it, but they didn't want to embarrass him. So they fucked this, Galarraga, that was his name. They fucked this Galarraga guy out of a perfect game.
And they
didn't want to embarrass a guy.
There's like 18 of them in history. Like it.
Yes.
And this dude was out of the league in 2-3 years.
They're like,
well, we would hate to embarrass a guy with a Hulk Hogan mustache.
Yeah. Weary, a former bodybuilder, is married to fellow pro eater Miki Sudo.
That's how you spell, oh, Mickey, you're so fine. I think it was. Mickey. Yeah.
That's a great song.
That's the female Mickey.
Who took first place in the women's division of Nathan's competition this year, where she downed 51 dogs, effectively smoking the competition. The second place winner consumed 37. So this guy's been cucked, Ed. That's the problem. His wife took down more dogs than he did. He's been out-dogged. Yeah, his wife's had many more wieners than he had.
He's got to be excommunicated. We can't stand for this. This dude.
No, kick him out of the league.
Cheater and bad eater.
Yeah. This is, and now I'm going to, you thought we'd reach peak sadness, but I'm going to just go ahead and read this last paragraph. On the website, the pair maintain the hungry couple. They write that they first met at a gym 1 year before the Nathan's contest. The website also says that in 2023, Weary set a new world record at the Get Crackin' Wonderful Pistachios Eating Championship by eating
pistachios. How many pistachios could you eat?
I can eat a million by eating 188 in 8 minutes. I've done that. And down 173 chicken wings in 10 minutes to win that year's Wings for Wishes Wing Eating Championship.
Wings for Wishes, to make it seem like you're eating wings for altruistic reasons. Yes.
Oh my God.
When I took my son to an Orioles game a couple weeks ago, you can bring in peanuts and water to the stadium, and there's somebody right outside the stadium like, hey, you can buy. And I bought a jumbo bag of peanuts, and I was just chowing down on peanuts, and my son's like, you know, you don't need to eat them all in the first inning. And I looked down and I was like, oh my God, I've eaten at least 140 peanuts in the first inning. So
it's so good though.
Oh, I know. Ed, how do you stop?
Ed, so when I went to the Reds game,
we had
some benefactors that hosted us on the club level, which was kind of nice.
Baller. Because
because it was 1,000 degrees that day. So you could go out and sit in your seats, which were shaded, and watch the game. But even then, you needed to come back into the air conditioning, and all the food was hosted, and it was pretty good. Yeah. It was like dogs and brats and burgers and some controversial local pizza place that some of the locals don't care for because it's Greek pizza or whatever. It was fucking good. I had like three slices, ice cream, that everything. But Ed, as you walked out to the field and this great American ballpark, they know how to do a ball game. It's the oldest team in Major League Baseball. They know what they're doing.
Right.
You walk out to the field and there's like a porter there at the door with a big barrel, and I'm talking a full size cask filled with warm roasted peanuts that you could just scoop out as much as you want, put them in a big old bag, and just fucking eat peanuts to your heart's content, and then just go get more. I mean, it's just endless peanuts. It was when you walked
into the stadium, was there a statue of Marge Schott like Howard's Rock at Clemson? You tap it as you go in. Everyone like taps
it. I think there was a Johnny Bench that I saw. Unfortunately, he was not grasping five balls as he was known to do. He had the one in his hand, but I assume there was a Marge Schott statue somewhere on the nearby, and I do believe I was driven past Marge Schott's estate at one point, which was nice to pay homage to.
Like when I visit my sister in Boulder and she drives me by JonBenet Ramsey's home.
Oh yes, yes. Well, they had to.
I've seen it many times.
Yes. Well, they had a hard time selling it. I wonder why.
Our final sports story,
yes,
it involves the rapper Drake. We've mentioned a few times. When it comes to sports, this guy likes gambling. I just wanted to say Argentina's team taunted Drake after he lost a $300,000 bet betting on Canada in the Copa America tournament against Argentina. 300 grand against Messi and the World Cup winning Argentina.
Yeah, and weren't they defending champions of the Copa America?
They won two Copa Americas, but they just won the World Cup. They're the best team in the world. And he's like, well, you got to love these odds. This is like when Krusty bet on the Washington Generals against the Globetrotters.
They were due. You never know.
There's a reason you got such good odds with Canada, and you would have made $14 million on that $300,000. But you're not winning.
I know. I realize that like 300,000 to him is like, you know, 10 bucks to a regular person, but still it's just, he knows he's a mush. Like he shouldn't be.
We've done six straight stories about him losing a ton of money.
Yes. Like if he's rooting for Canada and he's like, oh, let me just throw, you know, cause they're 18 to one, why not throw 300 grand at it? I get that, but they're going to, if they had any chance of winning, they have zero chance of winning because you have just placed a bet on them.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the mush.
He is. He's definitely the mush. Okay. Excellent work there. Let's do some email.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His faults are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits.
He's been well in Gardenia. Rumors that there was recently a Manuel and Gardenia phone call to the Travis and Sliwa show. I didn't happen to be listening to that day, so I can't.
Did they switch the show to the night shift?
They're on 10 to 1. Wow. So it's maybe he's back on days. I assume that his ball sack was lathered heavily by Travis Rogers as it was the last time I heard him call in. And I can guarantee you there was no mention of his prominent role on the Baller Lifestyle podcast. I can 100% guarantee that. No voicemails this week. Couple of emails. Hi, Brian and Ed. Any big golf tournaments coming up? Has the Baller Golf Correspondent seen anything on Twitter or something? That's from, thanks, from G Fish. You know, our golf correspondent at Darbin, the OC, he has not reached out. And our other golf correspondent who provides Darbin, the OC, with all his information, Telly Two Putt, He calls in and he just gives us updates on the Telly Two-Putt newsletter that none of us are reading. So we're severely lacking golf content here.
How about when he reviewed that he was at college, but refused to answer why he was at college?
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, people are asking me. And I'm like, who the fuck's asking you? But like, this is not.
They are asking you, why are you at college?
Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. You're 50. What's a 50-year-old man doing at college in a visor and cargo shorts? Like that's a big question.
Am I right in saying G Fish is our hockey correspondent?
Yeah, he's our hockey correspondent, and he's the Brian's dick correspondent.
Yeah, you're
dick. I actually played golf with G Fish not that long ago, and every time I went to take a leak and I started to get it out, I was like, hey, G Fish, you want to come take a look? You are the Brian's dick correspondent. It's right over here. Come have a look. So yeah, he's our hockey correspondent and the Brian's dick. So no up to, I mean, hockey's out of season. Golf, we got the Open, Ed, the British Open is this weekend.
I respect G-Fish reporting on your dick, though.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, like not that long ago, maybe a week and a half ago, I was reading something about like SEC football, and there's something like somebody goes, and was there anything more ferocious than a Brandon Spikes moment at linebacker? And I was like, no, I've seen it. The most ferocious penis I've ever seen. Sitting at that hotel in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
He and Tebow were ready to visit the 8th ranked Tigers. And man, I got out of that men's room and I go, LSU has no chance today because I saw the biggest penis I've ever seen.
That's how it took.
And you know what? I mean, fuck Tebow, but Florida won that game.
Yeah, kid, you saw it.
I saw the penis and I was like, there's no way the other team's winning.
I mean, you should have gone and placed a wager on the game because you had inside information.
Yeah, I know. And my God, I didn't want to tell any of the LSU fans because we tailgated and that tailgate scene at LSU was the greatest like football experience in my life.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I was like, these people are so, everyone was just welcoming us to one great spread after another.
Yeah.
And I had no heart to tell them that, like, I've seen Brandon Spike's penis. You're not winning this game. I didn't want to tell them that they weren't going to win because it was the LSU people were wonderful.
Yes. And they, as soon as you told them, they would have known, Ed, they would have believed you. Like, that's just too good of inside information.
Right. I don't think you understand the size of the penis I was just looking at. Like, you cannot win. You cannot win.
Ed.
Yeah.
Mike Richards writes us and he says, why are these rich losers leaving all Matthew their shit Richards. On the... Yeah, Matthew Richards, sorry. Why are these rich... Mike Richards, former LA King. Why are these rich losers leaving all their shit on Mount Everest? They should have to climb back up there and get it. And it's a story. And this actually drives me crazy because I hate so much all these fucking losers that climb Mount Everest. Ed. It is, it's dentists. It's like the guy that shot Cecil the Lion, the Minneapolis dentist. They want to go. It's orthopedic surgeons. It's lawyers. It's guys that think they're accomplishing something that just they risk.
When it's the Sherpa who does it.
Yes, yeah. The Sherpa does all the work. Their base camps are everything's handled for them, and they get pushed up to the almost to the top of the mountain. And then they act like they fucking accomplished something. And all they accomplished was almost getting some other people killed for $50,000. The highest camp on the... Yes.
Remember, they made a big deal of whoever was... I forget. The first guy to climb Everest.
Hillary. Sir Edmund Hillary.
Yeah. But it was Tenzing Norgay, right?
Yeah.
Norgay was the Sherpa who took him up there.
Yeah.
And
he, took a bunch of people up there.
How would he know how to take him up there unless he's already done it?
Yes, exactly right.
Hillary didn't do shit.
Right. He was the first white man. The highest camp on the world's tallest mountain. Oh, and here's the other thing. They leave their shit. The highest camp on the world's tallest mountain is littered with garbage that is going to take years to clean up. According to a Sherpa who has led a team that worked to clear trash and dig up dead bodies frozen for years near Mount Everest peak. The Nepal government funded team of soldiers and Sherpas removed 11 tons of garbage, 4 dead bodies, and a skeleton from Everest during this year's climbing season, Ed.
I assume that the dead bodies are the Sherpas, though, because if it was white people, they wouldn't have. Yeah. They wouldn't have just let it sit there.
Well, I think they just do leave. And also, I mean, look, I get Nepal's trying to do the right thing because this is a tourism operation for them. You know, they want it
with a country not flush with cash. So
right, exactly. They need people to want to climb this mountain, but you die up there. It's too dangerous to try to get you down. They just leave you there. And this, I can't believe they rescued the bodies that are there. Sherpa said there could be as much as 40 to 50 tons of garbage still at the last camp before climbers make their last attempt on the summit. The garbage left there was mostly old tents, food packaging and gas cartridges, oxygen bottles, tent packs, and ropes used for climbing and tying up tents, he said, adding that garbage is in layers and frozen at the 8,000-meter altitude where South Cole Camp is located. Look, fuck these guys. Fuck anybody that climbs Everest. Fuck anybody that's talking about it. Fuck anybody that brags about it. Fuck Everest. Fuck anybody that climbs it. I'm not a fan.
Except for the Sherpas.
They're of course just the poor Sherpas.
People. That's their game. These are just poor people who are just trying to make a living.
Absolutely.
I'm Team Sherpa.
Yes. Oh, and one quick last minute email, Ed.
Okay.
Actually, two. Boot night. Fetish fun at Rain City Jack, 7 o'clock Tuesday, July 16th. That's tomorrow. That's today. By the time you hear this,
it's happening right now.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
There's out of control jacking going on right now.
The Rain City Jack Summer of Penis kicks off this Tuesday with a boot theme, a fun fetish event where we venture slightly outside of our cultural norm of just get naked and jack dicks together. Yes, we are definitely getting naked and jacking our dicks together, but we are also inviting you to lean into a specific turn-on. Boots. Do you find a man in boots particularly sexy? Do you own a pair of boots that make you feel particularly sexy? Then, brother, it's time to bring that freak out for a hot night of buddy baiting. Grab your boots. Whoa. And an appropriate pair of socks. Look, whoever they hired as a copywriter is a genius. And walk them over to Rain City Jacks this Tuesday. It doesn't matter if you choose work boots, riding boots, cowboy, combat, or motorcycle boots. As long as you feel sexy in them, show them off this Tuesday in the Jacks play space. Fair warning, anything worn in the Rain City Jacks play space can be affected by an abundance of sweat, cum, and lube, since there's plenty of them at the Jacks, and men can be a little messy when dick drunk. Just saying. So,
this is no country for old men shit.
It really is.
Here comes the semen friendo.
Ed, let's talk about things that are not, in fact, sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Ed, what's happened in the world of things that aren't sports?
So, on a date night, going out to a restaurant, like what, you know, anything you do out of the ordinary, something like, is there like a go-to move? Like we like to go for sushi or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We do. We'll either do sushi or Mexican food. That's two go-tos.
Yeah, I would say Mexican food or Italian for us. Well, oh, there was nice. A Georgia couple.
Yeah.
That was arrested after the man was caught funneling a margarita into his betrothed's ass.
I thought Paul lived in Tucson. Hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
TBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stu, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's Choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Yeah. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star. Even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man. It really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS.